Your heart beats faster and faster.
Only two things are infinite, the universe and human stupidity, and I'm not sure about the former. Albert Einstein, everybody, we miss you, Albert. This is the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Paranormal broadcasting, where there's a third thing. That is, we probably will not be prepared for the show when it comes time to go live.
We just decided to give another half hour of nothing. So, hey, gang, we are back live at studio. If you haven't guessed it, we'll be in the G&D chat room, hey, all night long.
And you can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
I almost swallowed my gum when I said, hey, before. Hey, this is the Ghost Man, Sean B.
And that would make me Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
And that would make this the November 22nd broadcast of our little show. Hello, everybody.
That's right. The Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show is independently produced by Nathan Schoonover and Sean Burris. It's broadcast live on KarmaCast, OmniSound, and especially Absurd Radio and Planet Paranormal Radio. And it's recorded for Planet Paranormal Radio, the Black Vault Radio Network, and the Para X Radio Network.
Tonight's guest, everybody, get ready.
Even we don't know who it is. Wait, no.
I always build that up and I miss it. All right, guys, tonight's guest, get ready. We go to field correspondent Julio Rasquin from the Granite State Paranormal Society. We go deep in the backwoods of the Pine Barrens looking for the Jersey Devil, live on location tracking the beast, tonight only on your Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Yes, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show is beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
You heathens and hooligans, come on, get the hell out of here. Bother someone else for a while now, brother, I could use a beer. Don't need you and I don't need this, I want to make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans, come on, get the hell out of here. Yeah, you heathens and hooligans, come
on. And now, the original Bad Boys of Paranormal, and your host for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Yes!
Yay!
Yay, that's us! Woohoo! Hey, I do want to send a shout out and say sorry. I know I sent out a note a little earlier during the week. We were going to have another guest on. That was Aaron Donahue, wasn't it, Sean? And we forgot we had something lined up. We had to fit it in, and sorry about that. People who are here expecting that. Maybe another time. We just had to make the call, and this was a one-time shot, so we had
this
to
was
do
an
it.
Executive decision.
An executive decision, yes. Yes, it was.
Nathan threw a note, and I picked it up off the bathroom floor, like, Thursday at 1, and I decided, you know, hey, man, what do you think? And we decided not to go with the second guest here that we had. But anyway, guys, we have added, if you haven't noticed, another half hour, thanks to myself and Demon Hunter.
That's right. And hey, I just want to give a shout out to our buddy Jason, who's not with us tonight. He had something he had to take care of. All our love out to you, Jason, but
much love for the sex kitten.
The sex
Yeah. Yes. He said Sex Panther. I changed
sex
it to
Panther,
sex.
Yes. I don't know. I kind of I thought he said Sex Dancer. I don't know. The sex dancer of the paranormal.
He paused at the last minute. He had to shave his back or something.
Oh,
but
no.
But anyway,
no, no.
Me and Nathan and Jason, we want to thank everybody for joining us tonight on what's sure to be another great episode of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show, guys. And we also want to send out a special happy Thanksgiving. I guess this is, Demon Hunter, our Thanksgiving show.
I guess so. I mean, we're trying to put something together for next week for those of you who will not be out buying a Christmas tree on Sunday night. Right. We're trying to put something together to be back next week, but this would be the Thanksgiving show, yeah.
Yeah, this is our... I was going to do a turkey sound. I can't do turkey sound.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Yeah, yeah, but you must do it real. You, gobble, gobble, gobble. That sounds great. Yeah. See, I wouldn't eat you if you were turkey.
I'm appreciative of that, Sean. I've seen you on the set starting to get hungry there, and I've worried.
I know.
So
hey, I told them in our contract I need to be fed 5 times a day. So.
I don't even know where to go with that, Sean. I don't even know.
I want everybody, I want to start out, Nathan, by asking everybody to go to the forums or in the chat room tonight, guys, wherever you are, and tell us what you're thankful for this year. You know, I kind of thought it was cheesy, man, on Facebook, you know, some people were saying, but I think it's cool.
I think it's cool. That's what it's all about. It's not about, you know, the turkey and, well, yeah, it's fun to be with the family and stuff like that. But I mean, that's why it's Thanksgiving. It's time to give thanks for. And okay,
I think it's time to sit back and reflect. And I just wanted to say tonight that one of the things I am most thankful for is my brother Nathan Schoonover and my brother Jason Gowan and the show that we've created, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. And I am thankful, Nathan, for our listeners out there, brother. It's been such a ride.
It really has. And I thought you were going to say you were thankful that your brother Nathan Schoonover was wrong with his prediction about last week's Colts game.
So, I wasn't going to bring that up. I was going to save face.
No, it's okay. I made the call, and this is why I do not get to make the picks that win the big bucks. You know,
I'm kind of proud, actually. I have a pyramid started here in the G&D Show Studios, and it's only halfway done right now. It's filled with Kool-Aid cans.
I thought for sure it was going to be beer cans, but okay.
No, it's Kool-Aid, man. You know, and it's halfway up, but by the end of the night, it will have a point to it. And I think I'm
like your head.
Yeah, a little pointy head. But you know, I'm thankful for our listeners too, and you guys have let us into your lives, and you let us come through every Sunday. Well, most Sundays.
Well, you know, the great thing too, Sean, when you think about it, it is 3 years this month that you and I were out in the fields of Gettysburg.
Yeah.
And we were out there with Doug Semick of Ghostly Talk, walking around. And as we were going through, we're sitting there saying, wow, you know, we could do this. We could do a show.
Absolutely.
And we were joking about it because, you know, what kind of show could Sean and I put on? And we started our little blog talk radio show, and we were having fun with it. And you guys started listening, and now we have to do it every week.
That's right.
We have to come up here and we have to lock ourselves in these rooms.
Yeah.
And thanks a lot, folks. I have no life anymore. Thanks. I got off the track.
Look what the show's opened up, man. Extreme Paranormal on A&E. You know, we couldn't have done it without our listeners. And, you know, and without the show, it's been a big blessing, guys. I'm just thankful for so much this year. And I wanted to also say, on behalf of me and Demon Hunter and Jason Gowan, that we're thankful for our newest. She's been moonlighting as a moderator in the chat room, our Bonnie Jo. We're so thankful for her. I love her so much. She's like a sister to me. I know she's like a sister to all of us, but I just want to say we love you, Bonnie. I see you in there, baby.
Bonnie, if I can actually find out how to transfer the moderator over to you, I will do it. Because right now, it's like a third party doing it for me, and I don't know how to transfer it because I think Bonnie can cyber kick butt like nobody else. I'll tell you,
I think so.
I think she can just kick butt like anybody else. But
yeah, Ghost Chaser in the chat room said that he's thankful for the Colts and Peyton Manning. So go blue, baby, go blue. Yeah, what a great game. And we won another squeaker today, so it was good. What a great season, man. What a great day. So we got to mark Thanksgiving off our list. This is our official Ghostman Demon Hunter Show Thanksgiving show. And I wanted to go on and talk about the Mayan calendar, Demon Hunter. I know we've thrown this around a little bit, yeah?
Well, you know, that's one of the guests I'm working on for next week who will actually come on and speak about the Mayan calendar and the crystal skulls and all that fun stuff, so...
Right, and that is hot. I can't wait to get that on. But, you know, the Mayan calendar, it's flipping me out. You know, I got some people, and everybody knows my background, guys. I was raised Catholic, Baptist, / whatever, and now I'm just a man with open minds, okay? So it's very weird where I come from, a place. But refresh my memory, Demon Hunter. Did the Mayans, because this was A.D., after mm-hmm. death of Christ, when this stuff was going on, did they believe in Christ, in the Bible?
No. You got to remember, we're talking about a calendar that predates Christ. So
right. That's exactly. I'm sorry. That's the point I was trying to get to. And I think it's in very poor taste that I don't know how to say this because I don't want to pinpoint any.
Well, let's not pinpoint. Let's just say people combining this with other belief systems.
Well, I was thinking of a better way to say it than that. But yeah, people tying that in with their own cause, I think is done in very poor.
Okay, there you go.
There you go. Because the Mayans did not even believe in the religious, you know, religious beliefs like we know them today. And I just think now that it's a big profit. And I seen something today on the news where people are paying thousands of dollars, in which they don't have, to buy these manuals to be ready for 2012. December 21st, 2012, which is supposed to be the end of the world again. You know, and I just couldn't believe it, man. I couldn't believe that we live in this kind of world.
You know, I know there have been over the millennia, there have been numerous end of the world predictions.
Yeah.
But have there been any time as many as there have been in our lifetime?
I don't know.
Everything is, I mean, now admittedly, you know, I love my nieces to death. My nieces, my nephews, all their kids, love them. But I remember sitting with my niece and her watching, I was watching War Games. Uh-huh. And she was in high school, I believe, and she came up to me and said, "Uncle Nathan, why are all the movies from the 80s, America versus the Russians?"
Those are the good ones, man.
And I was like, "Are you kidding me? Yeah. Do you not know that, like, we were under the gun. That was the way we looked at the world, and we were all waiting for the world to end." And
well, I was just watching Rocky IV the other day, David Hunter. I love the Rocky, and he fought the Russian. You know, I remember going to the theater with my cousin, going, "Oh yeah, get that commie." You know, and it's nothing like that anymore, man. You got McDonald's and Times Square is all across Russia. I mean,
Times Square across Russia.
Yeah, they're Times Square. You know, you got so much going on in the world today. I just wanted to talk real quick about the Mayan calendar. First off, guys, my standpoint, I have a right to my belief. I believe it's a load of stuffing. I believe nothing will happen. They got it wrong again in 2012, the end of the world. And, you know, the religious thing they talk about in the Bible, everybody always says, "Oh, man," and they start quoting the Bible and all this stuff. And, you know, I remember something. I'm not big on Bible. I'm not I've read it. My dad, you know, has read it all my life. And I do know one thing, and I just want to say one thing, and I don't want to get on the religious talk, but it says in the Bible, "No man shall know the coming of the Lord. No man shall know the time. He shall come as a thief in the night." So let me ask you something. You got all these preachers out here and all these different religious cults, and I'm going to call them cults because that's what they are, and they claim, you know, this could be possibly the end of the world. This will be the end of the world. A lot of them are got people in frenzies, even children. That's what kind of got me today, Demon Hunter. They showed these children at these conferences, and they were preaching these kids. And even I, when I went to church, Demon Hunter, when I was a kid, they showed me End of the World videos, man. And I was only like 8 years old. And I just, you know, I'm against that. Hey, that's it. I'm off my soapbox, guys. Just wanted to say that I think it's wrong. And I hope we go on for another 60 billion years, you know, and I hope everybody just has to eat their words. And I will be the first one laughing on this show on December 21st, 2012, if I'm still alive.
Well, so. you know that the reason I got into the paranormal originally was because I was preteen and I went to a lecture on revelations and demonic influences on the modern age.
Right.
And it scared me so much that I didn't sleep for months. And finally my mother said, you know, you won't be afraid of something you understand. And that's how I started getting into learning about demons and learning about the occult and different spiritual beliefs and stuff like that. I think I took it farther than she wanted me to, but but I think that, you know, there's a scare factor in there. And personally, I feel that, you know, we're going to see a great big alignment of the planets on December 21st, 2012. Now, if you were the guy in charge of carving a calendar in stone, wouldn't you just be looking for that one big event that you could go, "Okay, there, it's done. I'm not going any further. Let somebody 1,000 years from now pick it up."
Well, you know, if it was a guy like me, the end of the world would have been a heck of a lot sooner. I wouldn't have finished it then.
Well, and then again, too, you got to look at it. Is it going to be an end of the world as the Mayans knew it? Because the Mayans aren't around anymore. So their world actually ended a long time ago.
Yeah. So they met their doom long, long ago.
So
anyway, I was looking it up, man. And yeah, you know, NASA's saying some stuff on it. And in fact, the world will be aligned with the sun and I believe another planet. I believe Jupiter, Demon Hunter. I'm not sure.
But I believe it's an alignment of all the planets on December 21st.
Planetary Cycles. I know it all comes together December 21st, 2012. And, you know, hey, man, I got to say, the Mayans were pretty cool cats. They got a lot of stuff right there. But they never said, now correct me if I'm wrong, did they ever say the end of the world will come on?
Their calendar simply ends.
Yeah, simply ends. They never said, hey, this is it. They just stopped.
But, see, people are combining it with the other different predictions. You know, I've been watching recently the beliefs that Nostradamus said that 2012 would be the end of the world. But you know what? I remember reading Nostradamus theories that showed it in much later in the 2000s. I know the actual end of the world by Nostradamus is not supposed to come until the 3000s.
I thought we were supposed to be dead in 2000.
Well, you know, it...
You know, I bought a coffin and everything, man.
I'm still setting my coffee pot December 21st, 2012, to make me a cup of coffee on December 22nd, 2012. Okay? I'm still setting it the night before because, you know, I'm not worried.
I hope they have Starbucks in heaven. That's what. Because you ain't going to get it, baby. It's coming to an end. It's going to blow.
Well, if you really can't take it with you, how are you going to afford a $4 cup of coffee in heaven, Sean?
That's right. That's hey, all I got to say, if it's the end of the world, burn, baby, burn. I don't care. Take me first. But hey, I wanted to say something, Demon Hunter, about we were talking about the mystery of Halloween. I know this was last month, guys. It's old news. Stuff's happening so fast. I'm older now, and I can't keep track of it, but... why do we carve pumpkins at Halloween? That was a good a question we got from the chat room back in October, and I said I'd look into it, Demon Hunter.
You did?
Yeah, I did. I actually stuck with it. And it says, carving vegetables into scary faces, then lighting them is an odd kind of custom that just must have interesting roots. Yes, it does. The Irish, Aaron Gobra, do not disappoint. Folks there have a legend, folks there have a legend of a drunken farmer whose dealings with the devil led to him being turned back at both the gates, you know, of heaven and hell.
Right.
Upon his death, forced to wander the darkness of purgatory, Jack made an old lantern from a turnip and lump of burning coal to guide his lost soul. Every Halloween, communities in Ireland would craft their own turnip lamps to scare him and other wayward spirits away. The tradition became pumpkinified when Irish immigrants found the orange veggie sprouting in abundance in North America. Today, pumpkins mean big business in Halloween, of course. U.S. farmers grow over 1 billion pounds a year, worth about $106 million in the pumpkin industry. So there you go, guys. I stuck with it. I don't know who you were that asked it, but that's one of our listeners, and I just answered somebody's question. I'm proud of it.
There you go. You should be proud, and I'll tell you, it is an interesting thing, because when you actually think about carving a turnip.
Yeah.
Dude, that's a tough car. I have trouble with a small pumpkin. And you know I do tons of pumpkins at Christmas time. I cut them all up and get them all ready for Halloween. And I carve my jack-o'-lanterns and I do the intricate designs. But now I use the cut safe tools so that I don't cut my hands open every year when I carve the pumpkins. You know, the ones they give the three-year-olds to carve pumpkins, I use those now. But,
yeah, those are because I kept cutting myself.
I used to use the big old butcher knife. Now I just use the cut safe things. But
go ahead, Nathan. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's probably it's tough to cut them. And like I said, I mean, I was always taught as a kid to cut them, or else, you know, my father used to call it Samhain, but it's the same kind of theory. You know, it's a Jack would come and he'd been turned away from heaven. He'd been turned away from hell.
I like the fact he was Irish and drunk. I got him right there. I love the guy.
What's the old saying about Jack? Heaven didn't want him, and hell was afraid he'd take over. Yep, and
I should get that tattoo right next to my one on my back that says "Mom." You know what I mean? We're crazy, man. We shouldn't be on the air. But anyway, guys. Okay, we covered Thanksgiving. We covered the Mayan calendar. What else was I going to talk about tonight, Demon Heart? There's so much. There's so much going on.
Why you know, Sean contacted me this week and said, you know, I think we're ready to go back to at least an hour and a half. And I said, okay, I'm all ready for it, you know. And didn't you have some news stories?
Oh, I had all kinds of news stories. But I'm trying to think of, last night, myself and Jerry from the chat room, and of course, Stacey K and his woman, we went out to see the, we had a nice dinner, you know.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jerry, how you doing? Hey, Jerry, how you doing?
How you doing, Jerry? We did, you know, no sex club, nothing kinky. We just went straight out to a roadhouse-type steak dinner. And then we went to see Paranormal Activity, Demon Hunter.
Okay. Huh? Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, you just reported on that last week, and I told him, I said, I got to call Nate because he said he had just seen this. I forgot what you said about it. But, you know, I went in there. I really wanted to see, what's that, The Fourth Kind?
Oh, yes. Chrissy went to see that. I didn't get to see that yet.
Did you see? They tied us in. When we were on Extreme Paranormal on A&E, they actually tied us into the commercial for that.
They did. That was, it wasn't just the commercial. They were giving clips. Yep.
Yeah. It said, if you're enjoying Extreme Paranormal. So, you know, I automatically fell in love with it, but I still want to see that because it looks really cool. And anyway, last night I went to see Paranormal Activity. There was like probably six people in the theater. And I got to say, man, it was, and you know my stance, I believe in ghosts. I've seen them. I've seen the paranormal. I have not yet met a demon, nor do I wish to, if they do in fact exist. But if, you know, if something happens, I got to deal with it. I'll deal with it when that happens. But, you know, it talks about I don't want to ruin it for anybody that's seen the show, Demon Hunter. Help me out here.
Well, you know, it's all the actual Extreme Paranormal. Or not Extreme Paranormal. I'm promoting our own show without even realizing it.
Just say Extreme Paranormal 60 times. That's in our
Extreme
contract.
Paranormal, Extreme Paranormal, Extreme Paranormal, Extreme Paranormal, Extreme Paranormal. It's just going to play in the background all night. No, Paranormal Activity. I was saying I was told to expect a very Blair Witch Project kind of thing. And I honestly, I enjoyed the Blair Witch Project because it was new. It was something that hadn't been done before. This, to me, in the beginning, seemed like some interesting kind of catch, like glimpses of a paranormal enthusiast trying
to... Was it just me or was the chick hot, too? I mean, oh.
I guess that was you, Sean.
She jiggled in all the right ways, yeah.
But, you know, I was expecting a little more excitement from it, and right. I didn't get it. But that's me, you know, somebody else... there were people sitting three rows in front of me who were screaming at every time something went bump. So, right. did you understand what I told you, Sean, about them turning the camera off at the worst times? Though
I did, I did. Yeah, I seen that, and you know, I just gonna say, if you wanted excitement, you should always bring a mouse that can ride a bicycle in your pocket because that adds to the flavor of everything.
That's what the Green Mile needed. The mouse needed to ride a bicycle. You're absolutely right.
Oh, man, this used to be the ABC Weekend Special. They actually had, I don't know if you remember, I forget the name of it, Stuart Little came from it. I think it was the Mice and the Red Bicycle or something. Anybody that remembers this, put it in the forums, put it in the chat room. There used to be a mouse that would ride a bicycle around, and it would be on the ABC Weekend Special. It was cool, man. I dug it. But, yeah, anyway, I think Extreme, what's that? That's 20 times. I think Paranormal Activity does... show the world that you don't have to be George Lucas. You don't have to have millions of dollars to put into a movie for, they call it CGI, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Special effects, stuff like that. Because one thing Sammy Terry said, Demon Hunter, when he was on our show, and he was a childhood icon to me, guys. He was the late night Fright Fest guy on Friday nights here in Indiana. And he said, it's the things that you don't see that right. scare you. That's true horror. And now I get it, man. Blair Witch, and it's true. When you let the mind wander, that's creepy because I got to say, last night I came home, you know, and I'm sitting there, and some stuff started happening in the kitchen. You know, we look for ghosts, Demon Hunter. We do this
right,
stuff.
Right, right. Well, you know, somebody asked me a while back ago why we used a low light system instead of going all dark on Extreme Paranormal.
Really?
Yeah, and I had told them, basically... We're out there looking for ghosts, and if you turn the lights off, you're only going to see what the camera sees, and then you're only going to see it after it's done.
Right.
So we're trying to get we were trying to see stuff as it happened. So,
about yeah, absolutely. We were trying to see it why it took place, and I understand that. I think a lot of people ask me that. They're like, "Hey, man, can you look for ghosts in the daytime?" Well, of course you can. You know. And that's one thing I think a lot of people don't know. If a place is haunted, man, it's haunted 24/7. It'd be haunted during the day, just like the places we visited in the past, Demon Hunter. We know that there's been activity during the day as well as nighttime.
Yeah, yeah.
And
well, yeah, I remember when we were out at Whispers and you guys all left and I was left alone at Whispers Estate.
Well, you were going to spend the night there for research.
I was going to spend the night there for research, but you know what? It came down to the fact that I had to be home in 2 days, and that would have meant the next day would have been a 14-hour ride straight through again. Yeah. And after staying up all night long, one night I just didn't have it in me to do two nights and then do a 14-hour drive. So it was it didn't work out. Hopefully it we'll get chances to do like that stuff like that again.
I would say Paranormal Activity in my book, Demon Hunter, gets a 6.5, 7 points.
Out of 10?
Yeah.
Out of 10? Okay. Out of 10, I would probably give it about a 6.5 as well.
I'm with you. We're together on that.
We're together. If we agree on something. Oh my God, folks, the world is coming to an end. But
we changed our mind. This is it. Hey, straight from the Ghostbed and Demon Hunter Show vaults, we have news.
Hey, we got to make it quick, dude, because we got to go to break soon and bring in our next guest for the night.
I told the guy we might call him a little later. He's actually on the trail of the Jersey Devils. Some stuff's going on right now. They're tracking it.
Okay.
And I told him we might come in a little bit later.
Okay. Sounds good.
So we do have a couple news stories here, guys. Step away from that lollipop, it says. It can turn kids into killers. Yeah, you've been eating candy all this. Giving kids too much candy could lead them to murder, says a new study. Research published in the British Journal of Psychiatry shows that children who ate sweets daily were prone to commit savage crimes as adults. Giving children candy and chocolate regularly may stop them from learning how to wait to obtain something they want, says a study participant. Not being able to defer gratification may push them toward more impulsive behavior, which is strongly associated with delinquency and murder.
Delinquency.
It caught my eye, man.
Sean, I got to ask you, how often were you given candy and chocolate as a child?
Daily. At my house, it was rare. If you could grab it on the kitchen counter, it was yours.
We didn't have it in the house, so the only time I ever got it was when I went to visit somebody else's house, and I'd sit there staring at it for like 20 minutes till somebody said... You know, if you'd like a piece, Nathan, go ahead. And then I eat everything in the bowl. Excuse me.
You were so deprived.
I was. I was. To this day, my brother likes to tell the story about how he got a box of yodels for Christmas and my sister ate them on him. we were like, I was maybe one. No, I couldn't have even been one. I wasn't even born yet. He was like 8 and my sister was, I guess I was born. He was about 8 and my sister was 20 and she ate his yodels. And to this day, he has not forgiven her for that. And she has bought him yodels every year for Christmas ever since. And he still won't forgive her.
It's just like a woman. She always wants to get your hand on your candies.
That's right. She's always after your yodel.
The girls always steal your yodels or Twinkies.
I know.
Always after them. I know. But, hey, man, anybody out there that have gone Christmas shopping? Demon Hunter, you been Christmas shopping?
I have not been Christmas shopping yet.
Dude, I went back out there this weekend, and I went at like 1 o'clock in the morning last night when I got out of the movie theater, and it was still pretty packed.
Okay.
But it was still pretty packed. I didn't get my foot ran over again, because that would have been the third time in 3 years that I got my foot ran over, but a lady did push me.
Okay.
Yeah, she was very upset, and she pushed me. Apparently, there's something called... The Big Game Hunter. I'm going to say this because I know the babies ain't going to listen to this show. So the Big Game Hunter, Drake wants, right? It's you hook it up to the TV and it's a shotgun and you shoot the deer on TV or whatever. And he really, really wanted it. There was one left on the shelf.
Okay.
So I turn the aisle. And just as I turn the aisle, I see this other lady on the north end of the aisle turn in too. So it was like a race to the death. And man, I just kept on chucking and I grabbed it and I pushed it right in my cart, and I know she was after it because she pushed me, trying to get around me. She pushed me. So it's a very vicious holiday Christmas, you know?
It is. And I'll tell you,
holiday too, Demon Hunter.
You know my cell phone broke, Sean.
Yeah.
I have not been able to get text, half my calls, anything since my phone broke. I actually have, when I flip it open to make a phone call, I actually have to hold it together because it'll fall apart if I don't. So I went out the other day to get a new phone, and I went up to Costco, and it was packed to the gills, and I couldn't believe how packed it was. People were honking at each other. You know, one thing I can't stand, people are talking on their cell phones as they're backing their cars up. I'm like, put this cell phone down for 30 seconds so you don't crash into somebody, please. It's illegal, for one. Then I go in, and I'm looking for a cell phone. And the lines at the cell phone booths were out the door because, you know, all the dads were there with their teenagers buying them a phone for Christmas with the holiday specials. So I didn't even get to see the phone I wanted. But, I mean, it was just crazy. The people were grabbing things, ripping out of other people's hands. And this is insane.
People in the chat room said I should have done a victory dance when I beat the lady to the toy.
Well, didn't someone beat you to something?
They did. And it was a video game, last one on the shelf.
And I remember I told you, Sean, let it go. Karma will out. And,
I know.
See?
I got mine. It was 2 years later. 2 years later. Hey, this story's for you, Demon Hunter. I got it out of the G&D show vaults. It's hot off the presses. Ooh, it's burning my hands, burning man. Poe fans raving about over-the-top funeral. You ready for this?
Okay.
Devotees of Edgar Allan Poe are finally giving the macabre master the royal send-off he was denied back in 1849. Of the greatest writers of the 19th century, Poe was broke and delirious when friends found him staggering outside a Baltimore tavern. He passed away in the hospital 4 days later on October 7th, without doctors ever pronouncing a definite cause of death. His cousin Nelson Poe added insult to injury by arranging a hasty funeral with only 10 attendees before unceremoniously dumping Poe's remains in a pauper's unmarked gravesite. But the elaborate do-over of this 160th anniversary of his death, complete with heartfelt eulogies by actors posing as Poe's contemporaries, finally gave the Gothic genius his due. We followed the proper etiquette for funerals, explains Jeff Jerome, curator of the Poe House and Museum. We wanted to make it as realistic as possible. The 350 fans were even treated to a viewing before the funeral, featuring a mock-up Poe corpse created by special effects artist Eric Suspensky, actor John Astin, who starred as Gomez Adams on TV's The Addams Family, was the master of ceremonies, in sorts of a way of saying, well, Eddie, your first funeral wasn't a very good one, but we're trying to make it up to you because we have so much respect for you, Astin says. And they buried Poe all over again.
Well, you know,
I know you're a huge fan, Demon.
I'm a huge fan. If you remember, I saw Astin actually reading Poe at Poe's birthday this year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I had tickets to his funeral.
But, oh, wow.
But with everything going on this year that we had going on, people wondering why we're not out there. I couldn't even go to Poe's funeral.
That's terrible. You know?
Because, one, we have all this stuff going on, Extreme Paranormal, Ghost Man and Demon Hunter. We have events. But I also have a day job. So it's
Absolutely. We
have to pay the bills, you know. It's
hey, did we ever mention on the show, guys, if you want to see it more Extreme Paranormal, it's in the works right now, but you need to go to aetv.com under Contact Us and tell them, heck yeah, we want more Extreme Paranormal, guys.
That's right. It's if you scroll to the bottom of the A&E page, you will see a Contact Us button. Click on it, choose I think it's I don't even remember. You can pick television or programming or any of those things and just send them a message that says you liked Extreme Paranormal, you want to see more, and you want to see it soon. So
tell them you were naked touching your nipples.
No. Do not tell them that. You just try and think of things to make me hit that button every week, don't you?
I do. The kids are happy. They're applauding it. Okay, one last story, guys, from the archives. I'm not taking that long, Demon Hunter.
That's okay.
Monks sue demon for ruining their beer. This was right up our alley, man. It was? Okay. Plano, the Czech Republic. For more than six centuries, the monastery of St. Aldebert supported itself by producing what was universally regarded as the finest beer in Eastern Europe. Last month, the monks were stunned and disheartened by, when they produced a batch. When they produced a batch that beer critics said tasted like a mixture of pond scum and garlic. Fearing their reputation as brewers was on the brink of ruin, the monks met in solemn... It's funny, after a couple drinks, you just can't...
No, Sean, we never drink on the air.
All right. The monks met And they concluded that the beer was sabotaged by a demon from hell and are planning to sue Satan for damages. It says, "We are fiercely proud of our beer," says Master Brewer Brother Staniski. But it isn't, it's funny because this is in the Czech Republic. He sounds like he's from Wisconsin. Staniski. But it isn't simply a matter of pride. The beer is our sole source of revenue. It has supported our monastery since 1409 to the praise and satisfaction of beer lovers all around the world. Now our orders are beginning to dry up and our revenues are falling. We must do something to salvage our business or we will be begging in the streets. And with the economy in turmoil, this is no time to be a beggar. The only problem they're having, Demon Hunter, is finding a court that will hear their case. And also, of course, they found an attorney the first day. So they they didn't have a problem getting an attorney to represent them. They just can't find a court that wants to hear
The problem is finding an attorney that doesn't work for the devil. Oh!
And the picture, it's funny, in the magazine, it's got Satan and fires all around him. He's holding his chest, and it's got the monk with the big cross on. You know, it's like a... You know, the Halloween costume, he's holding a big pint of beer, and he's got the mullet type. Not mullet, what do you call it? The chili bowl haircut.
Oh, okay, okay.
So, what a great story. There it goes, man. That goes to Ghostbed at Demon Hunter Show lore, and that's the news, baby.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, Sean, here is a brewery run by monks.
Monks, yeah.
Sabotaged by a demon. And they didn't call in the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show to check it out. I tell you, what are people thinking?
I know it, man. That would have been a great episode of Extreme Paranormal.
It would have just... I don't care if the beer was skunked. I would have had to test it anyway. I think I need to test a little more.
Yes. Especially monk beer. You know, my dad... My dad, he retired General Motors. And he actually drives a bus now, guys. And he takes people back and forth to the riverboats. And he does all these special events and stuff. Really cool little job for him. He loves to do it. And he actually, wherever these people go, they pay him for the week or whatever. He goes with them, and he has to stay with them. Well, he went to, what would you call it, Demon Hunter, where the monks are? A
monastery.
Okay, a monastery. I thought that had to do with the with nuns. But
no, that
monk, monastery, I get it now.
Yep.
I do. But he actually stayed there where they took a vow of silence. And he said, you know, he would call me. He'd go outside in the garden or whatever and call me and say, you know, none of these people are talking, man. They're walking around. And he said it was really peaceful. The candles, the old building, you know, and they ate bread and they cooked their own stuff. He really liked it, man. But no beer. Apparently there was no beer. I could be a monk. I could sign off everything. Well, except I couldn't sign off women. I love women. But
you're talking about some of the main things they sign off on there, Sean.
I know. Women and beer, if I could keep those, I wouldn't sign off. I wouldn't mind being a monk. Just women and beer.
There you go. Women and beer. Women. Sean, Brother Sean of the Holy Order of Women and Beer. But
I think it'd be good. We'd all go straight to heaven in 2012, baby. That's it. That's all I got, guys.
That's it. And I think, Sean, we should take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have our guest for this evening. Now, this person works directly with Jim Snell, correctly?
Yeah, Jim Snell from the Granite State Paranormal Society. They also got they do a lot of Bigfoot hunting, cryptozoology kind of stuff. This man is Julio Razquin, and he is second to none in my book, but he is right there with Jim Snell, and he's in the field right now researching. We might have to whisper, actually, because they're on the hunt right now of the Jersey Devil.
Okay, well, you know, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to some music here from 3 Years Hollow.
The name of the song is Suffer.
There
Enjoy
you go.
Enjoy, everybody. We'll be right back.
You can check that out at GarageBand.com.
The Darker Side of the Moon is an alternative talk variety show.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Since 2006, host Becky Ray and Laura Moon speak with independent filmmakers, authors, musicians, artists, and many, many more.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Sometimes serious, mostly fun, the show has a little for everyone.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Was it odd, freaky, and you didn't hear it on the 5 o'clock news? Then we'll probably cover it here.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
DarkerSide currently airs live Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 7 p.m. Central and 5 p.m. Pacific.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
If you happen to miss it, you can listen to show archives at any time online at DarkerSideRadio.com or you may subscribe to the show on iTunes.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Want to dive into the bizarre world of the paranormal? Do ghosts, UFOs, or the supernatural amaze you to the point of wanting to learn more? Then you need BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. With more than 750 hours of on-demand talk radio, syndicated from more than 35 shows, the Black Vault Radio Network is your one-stop shop for the world of the unexplained. Check us out and tune in 24 hours a day, www.blackvaultradio.com. Again, that's www.blackvaultradio.com.
This is Evo Dominguez Jr., author of Spirit Speak, Knowing and Understanding Spirit Guides, Ancestors, Ghosts, Angels, and the Divine. And I can't imagine a better place to be than listening to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Keep listening. All you heathens and hooligans gonna wanna
get
the hell out
of here. Barrel, 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 barrel. Get out of here. Actually, don't get out of here, everybody, because we just came back.
Yeah, I had to run downstairs. It was nice to have a song back on the show, Sean, because I got to run down and grab myself a cigar out of the humidor. And
you said you had grabbed yourself.
grabbed myself a cigar out of the humidor. And, you know, I'm a little low on budget. I have another Butthead special from the Butthead's Tobacco Emporium this week. But, right. You know, it's nice to have a cigar here.
Right.
First half of the show, I didn't have one. I didn't know what I was doing. It didn't feel like I was really on the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
I know. Where'd you get it at?
The Butthead's Tobacco Emporium in Danbury, Connecticut.
Buttheads!
Buttheads!
There you go. That was a long one. Hey, guys, but tonight's guest, this is very serious, guys. We've been having a lot of fun tonight. But right now, we're going live into the field with our brother, our man.
Yep.
Raz Quinn. What's going on, Julio?
Well, I'm down here in South Jersey, not very far from Atlantic City, where back in the very early 18th century, the legend of the New Jersey Devil was born. What Jim and I have been doing independently is gathering material. Of course, there's already a lot of material out there, research material readily available. But what we're attempting to do is to tap into a more contemporary vein, attempting to track down witnesses and actually visiting the sites and just touching on different theories regarding this America, because it's very much a part of North American mythology by now, as you all know, right?
Yeah.
Funny thing, Julio, I mentioned to my roommate tonight that I was going to have people on talking about the New Jersey Devil, and he looked at me and said, "What's the New Jersey Devil?"
Oh,
and
wow.
I was just shocked, being a Jersey boy myself.
Right.
I was like, what do you mean? It's not a hockey team. Trust me. It's not that it, you know, they're not a great hockey team, but I'm a Jersey boy. But they, it's a part of my heritage pretty much coming from Jersey.
Exactly. I mean, if anybody from New Jersey, you say Devil, the first thing that comes to mind, the imagery that comes to mind is that of a half horse, half bat-like creature, okay? Now, it's been described in several different manners over the years, okay? Some people have seen
Hey, Julio, I just got to interrupt real quick. You know, I'm half horse, the better half. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Yeah, trust me, Julio. I've been working with him for 3 years now. He's the back half of the horse, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, I've been working on growing some wings to save on airfare, but that ain't working so far. So this creature got around here in Jersey. It's been spotted even as far off as Pennsylvania, which is something that a lot of people have theorized, that it's just not one single entity, not a single creature, but it could very well be, say, like, for example, Bigfoot, a creature that actually is a community. Okay. Perhaps it migrates, it moves around, or perhaps it did in the past, because if we go right back to 1909, which was the big Jersey flat here, and I'm actually just a couple of miles away from Leeds Point, where it all began. Would you like some background information on this?
We would, Julio, but I gotta ask you first. I mean, don't we have to whisper? I mean, you could possibly be attacked right now. I mean, you're in the field, right?
I'm in the field right now, and my flashlight is in my pocket, and it's off. I'm looking around. The sky is overcast, but I can see the sky real clear, and I can see all the trees around me very clearly. Jim is at a different site, and I'm going to be joining him in about 20 or 30 minutes, perhaps. I'm not sure. We're going to see how that goes, because we split up for the sake of gathering field research, and all I've got is my camera and a flashlight. And yeah, it's pretty creepy.
But that's how investigating goes, you know, Julio. That's the great part of it.
You're absolutely right. You know, but sometimes you rely on a bigger team. This is a two-man team we've got going right now.
Right.
And well, because really on such short notice, on whim, we couldn't gather the team, and no one was willing to take this much time, including perhaps even tomorrow, to come down. So Jim and I said, all right, let's do it hardcore, simple, and that's what we're doing.
Well, I know you and Jimmy are rocking it out there, but I got to tell you guys, you got to be careful. My God, man, this is it's called the devil for a reason. You know what I mean?
Now, Julio,
I have to
throw this in. I know we're following the New Jersey Devil tonight and everything, but I actually got a question this week that directly you could help us with. Because, you know, neither Sean and I are cryptozoologists. We do not study that aspect of the paranormal. We would love to. We're starting to learn more about it.
I moonlight as one.
There you go.
I play one on TV.
No, you don't. I know what you are on TV. But we actually got a question this week from a woman that says, please help us. My husband just saw something extremely weird. It was man-sized, maybe bigger, hairy like a Chewbacca, man-like face, just flat and sunken eyes, and were black with the eyes were black with big teeth.
She got a really good look at, or her husband got a really good look at it then.
Right, and says it was lying across the road. It had long, stringy brown hair, and after coming to after catching it in the bright lights, it rolled over and stood up like a human. Looked at, and she gives her husband's name at there. I just don't want to give it out at this time. But snarled, and then took off really fast into the woods. And they asked what I thought it was. And, you know, I don't know cryptozoology. For me, if I had something similar happen to me once with a black bear in New Jersey.
Holy shoot, it's Bigfoot!
But, you know, it's, but what am I going to say about that? And she says she's in Georgia, and they're trying to find professionals to track down and search for what it was. So, you know, does that sound like a Bigfoot to you? Does Georgia have a lot of Bigfoot cases?
You know, Georgia has not been high on the list of states with Bigfoot sightings, really. There's a lot of wilderness there that still, I think, you know, remains to be explored. Okay? As we all know, Sasquatch traditionally would belong in the western section, but ever so slowly, as humans encroach more on nature, it seems that these sightings are increasing all over North America, not just Oregon or Washington, those traditionally, you know, hardcore Bigfoot states. So I'm not surprised that as urban, you know, sprawl spreads, that we're going to have more and more sightings like these.
Now, does she have something to worry about if it's in her area? Is it something she would have to worry about her coming onto her land or being a problem?
I don't think so, because generally, the Bigfoot, the most recent so-called encounter / attack that I've heard of actually happened in Canada. And a very good friend of mine was on a hunting trip, and all that happened then was stones being thrown at the cabin. That's it.
So it's very ape-like behavior.
It very much so. Very, very much primate behavior. It's pretty much, you know, get out of here kind of thing, you know, banging sticks and throwing rocks. That's it. Okay? There's been no documentation, no solid evidence of Bigfoot ever attacking domestic animals or attacking human beings, perhaps just scaring, you know. You got to remember, I've also read interviews, and I've also interviewed a couple of people in the past that have encountered Bigfoot, and it seems that he or she seems just as startled as the witness. Okay, so I don't think this woman really has anything to worry about as far as herself, her family being threatened by this animal in proximity.
Now, when you get reports like that, I'm sorry, bro. One more question, bro, and then you can have it. I just want to say, when you get reports like that, does it, like, just stir in you to want to go check it out?
I'm going to definitely have to talk to Jim, and I'm sure that Sean and Jim have a long-standing relationship in the field, and I'm hoping that you and Sean can give Jim the lead, and just maybe we're due for a trip down south. I think March. Right. Jim's wanting me to come down, so that's something that we might very well fit into the schedule. But you'll have
Leo, I'm ready to do it. But is it protocol to cuddle during these investigations? Because Jim likes to cuddle. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No.
You feel free to just tell Sean no there, Jim. It's okay.
I'm kidding. I love Jim. I love him. But you know what? The greatest thing is, Julio, is you're in the field right now. You're on this patch of land where all this history happened. And we haven't gone into the history, starting with the cabin way back when. Could you tell us something about that?
Yeah.
There you go.
It all began in 1735, Sean. Mother Leeds was a woman of the family was by no means rich, so they had to work very hard to feed their 12 children. Now, Mother Leeds' husband, was a drunkard and a deadbeat. That's how he is described historically. Right. So imagine the plight of this woman having to raise 12 children almost on her own. Okay, and then she discovers that she's pregnant with a 13th child.
Right.
Now, not only did that mean, I mean, the number 13 itself, you know, still rings of ill fortune today, okay? So imagine what it meant back 250 years ago.
Yeah, well, okay? 13 children, I think some of this blame has to fall on Mr. Leeds. So,
13 children, I would have to sell my body to science while I'm still alive to support them. That's how I'd have to do that.
So this woman, you know, in the state of mind that she was in, considering the conditions, the life, the living conditions that she was enduring at the time, she cursed this child, okay? And she said, let it be a devil, okay? Now, who knows, really, in essence, what that those words are quoted historically. This is what she said upon discovering that she was pregnant. Other people within the household who were present when this was said suspected that Mother Leeds had always dabbled in witchcraft. Okay.
Bum bum bum.
And then along comes it. So here we've got a woman who's, like I said before, suffering from this ill fortune, and at the same time, other people all around her and townspeople saying that she's basically going to be the mother of the devil's child. Okay. Now, where this originated, whether it was as a direct quote, you know, somebody who heard this woman say this and then spread the word through town, but then the legend goes that when the child was born in the crib, okay, in the very first night, the child just grew immensely to the size of a grown man, okay, grotesque figure, okay. It spread its wings and wrecked the household and then took off through the chimney.
See, Julio, not to make light, but that's another thing they said when I was born, I grew to the size of a grown man. And I can't, Julio, you set him up, I'll knock him down, man. Come on, brother. I'm sorry.
No, that's cool. Hey, I'm only 5'4", man.
There you go.
I should have been cursed, I think.
there you go.
Now I'm actually seeing, I'm seeing a bit of a flicker of light in the woods, and I'm not quite sure what it is. I'm staying put for now, I'll tell you.
Really? Right now you're seeing a flicker of light in the woods?
Yeah, and I'm not quite sure. It could be something that I perhaps a house that's not too far away that I was not aware of, but I guess I'll keep you posted on that. In the meantime, I'm just going to stay put in this position and keep talking. It seems like I've got a good reception right here.
Try flicking your flashlight back at it and see if it's an alien, Leo.
I don't quite know. It seems static.
Okay.
So I'm not going to worry too much about it for now. As long as it doesn't come towards me. I've already had that experience. By the way, just to give you a little background information, I'm from Argentina originally, and I used to do UFO research with my grandfather down there.
Okay.
And I had an encounter with a light that I saw off in the distance, and wound up coming very, very close to me within about 300 feet. It's something that to this very day I can't explain. The light was about 4 feet across, and traveled about 4 feet, I'd say, yeah, 3-4 feet off the ground. It was a beautiful light. It was a blue-white light. And later on, I discovered that the natives, the people that lived in the area, had been seeing this light for years. And the way they interpreted it was that this was just a roaming spirit, you know.
Right. Julio, you know what? When I was a child, serious now, I got that same thing. I was sitting downstairs, and it was me and my cousin. We were on the couch, and the lights were off. We were listening to music and watching TV, and a ball of light came down the stairs in the bedroom and went right back up the staircase.
Right.
You know, and we never knew what it was. I mean, I know a lot of people would smell cologne from my grandfather when he passed in the house and stuff like that, but I seen that too, man. I'm right with you.
Yeah. I've talked to witnesses that have witnessed the same thing, and a lot it has to do, I mean, you could easily say, all right, this could have been ball lightning. And trust me, I mean, ball lightning behaves in very, very strange ways. It has been described as almost moving with intelligence, as though it's aware of its surroundings, making its way around corners inside a house, and then simply, bang, vanishing either silently or with a small bang or a pop, okay? Now, when you saw this, did you feel any, did you smell anything, or was there, did the hair on your arm stand up or anything like that?
You know, there was you could smell the electrical charge in the air.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing on my arm stood up, but you could smell the electrical charge.
Right. So what you saw is something quite unique. It's ball lightning in its most popular form, and it's an amazing thing to witness.
Okay. You think that was what that was inside the house, ball lightning?
Yes, because quite often, I mean, it's been seen inside houses. It sometimes comes in right through windows, okay, and on occasion it has been, I've actually read of a couple of cases where it's come in through one opening, okay, in through a window, and traveled through the house and then gone right out another window.
You know, Sean, Chrissy P., has actually seen ball lightning come through her house as a child, and it was described exactly as you just described it.
Wow.
It's a natural phenomenon, but that doesn't take away the detract from the significance of it and the marvel of it, the beauty of it, okay? We yet don't fully understand. We don't know what gravity is. We just know, you know, it keeps us from flying off into space. And we still don't quite understand all there is to know about electricity, especially on this planet. A few years back, I did some research into a phenomenon called Earth lights, which is a phenomenon that could very well originate in the Earth as a result of friction, tectonic plates. You know, wherever you've got fractures in the Earth's crust and there's tectonic movement, there's a release of energy.
Now, Julio, I gotta stop you real quick, because our first concern is your safety. You're in the field right now. You're after the Jersey Devil. You're looking for this thing.
Oh, come on, Sean. People have seen us work, okay? Everybody knows we don't get concerned with safety.
Right, Julio, are you down in the grass right now? I mean, this thing is kind of like the evil monkeys from The Wizard of Oz. I'm not making light of it.
Right.
But this thing moves on its knuckles and hind legs.
I'll tell you the one thing that makes me feel safe is that I know that nearby I've got a civilization. Okay, I'm in the woods right now. Now, mind you, if I scream, I don't think anyone's going to hear me. Okay, so if anything does happen to me, at least I've got you two guys to. You will call 911 for me, won't you?
After I stop screaming for you, yeah.
Now, how often have you been in the field on something like this, Julio, and, like, something has happened that you really wish somebody was there to call 911?
I've got to tell you, this is in North America. This is the very first time, because I've only been with the GSP team for about, I'd say, a year. But as in my capacity with Granite State Paranormal is head or director of historical research and relic hunting. That's my line of expertise right there. For the last 5 years, I've been doing historical research and recovering artifacts from the 18th and 17th century here in New England.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The last time I was out in the field under similar conditions was in Argentina, where I was with just one other gentleman, and up in the Andes exploring, looking for what we had been told was a UFO landing site. And we lost our way. Mind you, I had company, but imagine yourself in a very, very isolated place, much more isolated than this, and in where you've got, you know, 120, 150-pound cat roaming for food.
Whew.
So, yeah. Yeah, so it did get a little hairy then.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I just got hairy with cat. And never mind.
Well, I threw that in for a good measure, just to. Now, I've got to tell you that the conditions here, it's compared to last night, it's fantastic, because last night I couldn't see a darn thing, but right now I can raise my eyes and look at the trees, and they're all in silhouette. It's a surreal. If anything were to move in a tree right now around me, I could see it.
Could actually see the devil attacking you, is what you're saying.
It's something that's actually not. I guess I should. If anything, the conditions that I would want to be attacked were probably last night, where I wouldn't know what the hell hit me.
Right
now, you're right. You're absolutely right. I can see pretty much everything. The sky is kind of lit up, and I'm assuming that's the glow from Atlantic City, which is only maybe 20, 30 miles away.
You know, the nice thing, too, is people get an image of New Jersey in their head, and they think of Newark or Paterson or things like that. I grew up on the countryside of New Jersey, and I used to vacation in the Pine Barrens in the summer. So,
oh, wow.
It's, you know, you're not far from America's Keswick, which is actually a Bible retreat, which as a young child I used to go to. And we used to go down there, and it's so clear. You know, it's not what people commonly think of as New Jersey. There's trees, everything is trees, everything is clear. The night sky, you can see stars you wouldn't imagine anywhere else. And that's the kind of place it is. And on its own, there's something mystical about that land. And even among the Indians, there was mystical belief about that land. So
you know what? I just want to say something real quick, guys. Julio, everybody, listen, bro, everybody in today's world, everybody's so high tech, right? We got the $6,000 phones, right? That can, you know, talk to the astronauts when they're on the moon or whatever. You got all this technology today.
Right.
But what we lose touch with, like we're talking about the Jersey Devil tonight. I want people to understand what you're doing, what you're risking. You're standing out here looking for a beast that has not yet been totally discovered, that we know nothing about. And I just want people to know how real these things take on their own life when you're in the field with them.
It's quite real. And, you know, we're dealing with the possibility. Let's forget about traditional image that we have of the Jersey Devil, because if we're going to approach it from a biological standpoint, say it's easy to classify Bigfoot as, say, you know, the missing link, some offshoot of a primate or a native species, or perhaps it crossed from Asia across the Bering Sea at some point and remains. But we have a pretty clear idea of what Bigfoot may be. With the case of the Jersey Devil, the sightings, the descriptions are quite consistent, but there has been a change, and this is the scary part for me right now, is that the last documented sighting of the Jersey Devil here was September 2009. Somebody saw a very large creature with a long neck and a long tail cross the road in front of their vehicle. Now, this is a much more real and dangerous type of animal that they described. It's not your. I don't expect to see a half horse, half bat thing come flying out of the woods at me. What I think I'm scared of seeing is some other animal that lives in the region that people may not be entirely familiar with, and this is why I've got to be careful. And I'm right now, as I'm talking, I'm constantly looking around me and scanning the
well, that area you're in too. The bears are finishing up their final eating for the season before they go into hibernation.
Right.
So,
right. And that's the other issue. Even though I've been told that there hasn't been a bear sighting in this particular area in a little while. Okay, so that's comforting. But as far back as September 2009, which is not very long ago, somebody described something that moved very fast across the road, very large, long tail, and long neck. Now, if they hadn't said long neck, I could say, well, maybe it was a large cat, maybe it was a dog or something along those lines. But the physical description of that denotes that this is a different animal altogether.
You know, I just got to say, Julio, and I don't want to interrupt, brother, but we had a person come on the show from Transylvania. They had done extensive research out in Transylvania, and they talked to the villagers out there. And they very much so believe in ghost and demonic stuff and Dracula. Right. They lock their doors at night. They put blood on their doors to ward off evil spirits. These people are still not in this generation where, you know, we have all these gizmos and gadgets. They don't have all this stuff. They've seen it. They've lived it. They believe it. And only in America would someone be ashamed for talking about a winged bat person that haunts the New Jersey area out there, the Pine Barrens. And because if this was in Transylvania or any other part of the world, people would take this serious. They would actually, you know, get steel curtains put on their windows at night to protect themselves from the Jersey Devil.
Right. On one side, North American culture has been numbed by the onslaught of technology. It seems that everything is within reach now. Everything is identifiable. You can study it close up. That's not the case. And on the other hand, what we have been sort of, I guess, educated and our psyche very much influenced it to the point where we might even take for granted that folklore that in other countries is so much respected, appreciated, and believed in.
Yes, yes. And what have we found by all those old B films, scary movie, horror movie, B films? Anybody that doesn't believe gets jumped in the middle of the night by zombies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, it's a scary notion. It's a scary notion. Oh, wait, I think I've got a vehicle coming up the road here. I don't know who. No, it's turning back. Okay. Yeah. False alarm. I don't think the Jersey Devil's going to be driving a big old truck, so.
No, but are you sure that's not like an evacuation thing? They're not coming to get you out because something's happening, or what?
No, you know, we really didn't put any measures, and this was somewhat, like I said, we do have safety measures in place in the event of something. I've got my phone, obviously, with me.
Right.
And but it's pretty much right now the only means I have of any real contact,
right,
physical or otherwise, with anybody.
You know, I think it's amazing, Julio, is we know nothing about our planet. We know very little. I would say we know, what, 20% of our world? I mean, we haven't even explored our oceans yet, let alone the universe. We know nothing about what we share here on planet Earth. And I just think a lot of people that come out and they say, well, we're skeptic and we don't believe in this stuff. It's the same thing with ghosts. I always ask people when they say, I don't believe in ghosts, I don't believe in that hokey pokey. And I say, well, how long you been looking for them? Well, then you can't make an educated, you know, statement about what you believe. I mean, you can.
Hey,
you know,
I got to interrupt you. You know that truck that I just it's come back and it's my ride, and I'm gonna head to a different side. Do you guys mind? I'm gonna head right. I'm gonna go closer to Leeds Point right now.
Yeah,
This is my ride. I'm gonna be talking to you guys en route.
Sounds good. We've got about 10 more minutes. We want to hear everything going on.
So
absolutely.
going to Leeds Point. Now, this is where the cabin was, where the birthplace of the Jersey, the birthplace of the Jersey Devil.
Exactly. Yeah, right. And hopefully I'll meet up with Jim there, because as I said before, Jim's out in the field as well. We decided to split up for a bit. We decided to cover more ground, and yeah, hopefully I'll get in touch with Jim there. But and as I said before, Jim's already been to Leeds Point. We've been there together. We did a little footwork out in the field just to get a feel for the.
Now, are there any markers, or is there a cabin still there for at Leeds Point?
There is an old foundation that used to be accessible because the people, the property owners, readily let people onto the site, but that's no longer the case. Now, I have to wonder if Jim has managed to pull a rabbit out of the hat and get a hold of the owners and acquire permission. I'm going to find out later. I don't know if I'm going to find out within the next 10 minutes or so, but yeah, my driver's definitely giving me the signal that we're headed to Leeds Point.
Do you guys have walkie-talkies to communicate in the field?
We're out of range.
Oh, wow. Wow, so we're on our own.
We're out of range. We're out of range, brother. And, but Jim and I have a plan. We've got a timeline. It's right now 10:52 Eastern time, and we said we'd hook up by 11 o'clock, or at latest, a quarter after 11.
Well, I know me and Jim are tight, you know. The Ghostman and Demon Hunter show and Jim Snell have always been tight. Julio, you're tight with us now, brother.
We're looking for the chance that we're going to get to go out and hunt with you guys and do a live show. Of course, we're going to have to find some way to broadcast when we do it.
Well, I got to give you the heads up. The way Jim and I have been doing this, if we do it again, it's like I said, it's going to be the drop of the hat. It's going to be hardcore. It's going to the field. We have resources to use in the field. Right now, I think what's happened with walkie-talkies and communication, it's broken. But we do have, like I said before, a meeting time. So if we get to do this in the future, we're going to have to plan this a little better so that we don't put ourselves in a precarious situation like I was just in.
Well, hey, you know, it's kind of like, Sean, when we were out filming, where was it? At Pennhurst, I think it was.
Yeah.
And one of our walkie-talkies broke in the middle of everything. And, you know, so we had to leave Jason upstairs in a room all by himself with no way to communicate with us.
We've been there, Julio. We've been there, man, where stuff can come from north, south, east, and west, man. You're just looking around.
Yeah.
You know.
No, Jim has told me a few harrowing stories from the field. Yeah, but it's exciting. I got to tell you, it's
well. Last time Julio, we hooked up with Jim was in the field looking for the lizard man.
Right.
And we were on the trail. Him and you guys were out there investigating. I know they had claw prints on the back of somebody's car.
Yep.
And, you know, you guys were checking that out, and that was very intense. Just like tonight, very intense. You guys, I cannot tell you guys how huge this is. We are with Julio, right? And we're in the field right now, and Julio's looking for the Jersey Devil. This thing has haunted the Pine Barrens for years.
Yeah. I mean, we're actually, my driver right now is, we're going through, I'm looking around, and I'm not... I'm seeing a few lights here and there, houses, but it's not at all what I expected it to be. I thought there'd be a little more civilization in the Barrens, but no, apparently not. It's quite a creepy place, and once you're in the woods, it gets even creepier. I got to tell you, it's not a place that it's nothing like what I expected to see.
So where are we going now, Julio? Are we going deeper into the woods?
We're going to go deeper into the woods, actually. I was just in a section where a few years back there might have been a sighting. I was unable to talk to any witnesses. But right now we're headed, according to the GPS, we're heading south, and we're heading directly to Leeds Point.
Okay. Well, you know, okay. I just want to throw a quick question in here for you, Julio, because I know you're on the move and everything. But being a Western Jersey boy myself, do you think there's any connection between the Jersey Devil and Old Red Eye?
I think there just very well might be because, well, the same way that people have described, and this is amazing, the similarities sometimes between Mothman and the Jersey Devil are strikingly similar. The red eyes, and so on. The wings, yes.
Yep. And, you know, for those who don't know, because I threw that out there, Old Red Eye is kind of like New Jersey's version of Bigfoot.
Right.
But with different facial structure, different body structure. And he's more right. northern Western Jersey, where Jersey Devil is more southern Western Jersey.
Yeah.
Right. Well, exactly. Julio, when we filmed the Extreme Paranormal on A&E, and that was just our first season, we were out there looking for the Rougarou. we weren't actually looking for it, but we were in the swamps of New Orleans. And the Rougarou is very real out there. And I tell you, you hear things all around you.
Yeah.
We had growling coming from all around us while we had to stop filming at one point because we had to go get security to check the area because it was just to the point where there was growling coming right up on us and we wanted to investigate. But then again, you take the chance that there are other things in those swamps, you know.
Right.
We had to, our cameramen had to have spotters because of alligators. You know, it was... Right. It's a big deal down there.
And there's even some parts of the swamp where alligators won't come on shore.
Will come on shore.
Yeah, that's... Well, I'm lucky to be in a part of the country where there's no alligators, but there are other animals which could very well pose a threat, you know.
Sure, sure.
There's some left in this part of the country.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's... You know, like I said, I was telling people last night, stories of the bears coming in and how you can't keep your dog outside anymore at night in New Jersey.
Right.
Because you never know what's going to happen if you leave your dog out. A bear might wander in your yard and, you know, like you said, there's no report of Bigfoot killing dogs, but man, there's plenty of reports of bears doing it.
Exactly. Now, again, there's no documented reports of Bigfoot taking livestock or even but people have said that have claimed that livestock has disappeared. So that could be attributed to other predators, mind you. But who knows? I mean, if we're talking about a creature that can't survive, if we're talking about the Jersey Devil himself or Bigfoot in that case. The flora here does not provide enough sustenance, so protein, etc., to survive. So we're talking about an omnivorous creature that could very well include meat on its menu.
Now, are you actually in the Pine Barrens? Because my memory of the Pine Barrens as a child, even though it's
live. I'm traveling actually. I believe it's down Route 9. If you're familiar with the area.
Yep.
And all I see. Out left and right are just woods. I'm no longer seeing any lights from houses or anything.
Now, my memory of the Pine Barrens is actually a very lifeless kind of memory because there were the pines are so thick that nothing can grow beneath them. Is it still like that?
It's very much like that. I got to tell
area?
You, the trees in the Barrens are so thick. And what really struck me as surprising, I didn't expect this, was the bramble, the lower bush, so thick that it can provide cover for any sort of animal. I mean, you could be walking in the woods, even in daylight, there could be something within 20 feet of you, and you couldn't see it.
Yeah.
So it's still very much like that.
Well, Jim, Julio, we've only got about three minutes left. You're on the road out there. Did you get any idea of what that light was that you saw earlier?
I really don't know. Given the location I was at, I know that there were houses not too far away, but this was a light that kind of flickered on and off and then just went away. Maybe it was just somebody, you know, stepping out of their yard and off in the distance. The light was kind of low, maybe 20 feet off the ground or so. It could have been anything, you know. At the time, with you on the phone, it's not. Well, maybe it would have proved very exciting for me to walk towards the light while talking to you. But I'm not gonna go there just yet. I think I've got a lot more excitement left tonight, and I'm gonna save it.
Well,
I was gonna say we need to know your coordinates in case we have to call 911.
Well, according to the GPS, and I'm gonna check in with my driver here. We're still heading south, And we're somewhere between Parkertown and Leeds Point. That's all I can tell you right now.
Okay. Now, okay. Now, Julio, your guy's website is www.gspnh.webs.com, correct?
Correct.
So yeah. It's gspnh.webs.com. So, you
correct.
Know, are you guys going to, like, post any information about what you guys find?
We are going to be posting a full report of this field expedition. We're going to have some photographs for you. Things going to be posted on the website. Both Jim and I are going to cross-reference our notes and our findings both together and independently. And then you'll have all the material there. And hopefully who knows, I have a feeling that this is not going to be our only visit. I think there's a lot more under the surface.
Well, you know, Jim, I keep calling you Jim. Julio, like I said, I'm a Jersey boy. I love the Pine Barrens. I'm going to have to get down there sometime with you guys when you guys are doing a Jersey Devil hunt. Keep me posted on it.
I think it would be an honor.
Oh, it would be an honor for me.
Me too.
So keep me posted. Let me know, because, God, I want to be out there with. And Sean, you ready to take the 14-hour drive? Oh, wait, no, you fly for free. Never mind. I'll just have to pick you up at the airport.
That's it.
We're gonna have, again, like I said, online, we're going to have a full report, and we're going to put out all the theories, all the facts that we've collected on this outing for everyone to see, for you guys. And I'd like to thank you again for this opportunity. And I'm sure if Jim was available, or even if he's still alive, I'm sure he would thank you as well.
Yeah, you know, definitely keep us posted. Post on the website if he's still alive when we're done, so we can check.
Julio, thank you. Thank you for putting yourself at risk out there in the field, live, talking to us here at the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Hey, it's all in the best interest, and I'm gonna be daring and call this science, because this is as close as we get to investigating the source of something that's so much a part of mythology and local folklore and part of a reality. You can't ignore so many people having witnessed such a thing. You got to get to the bottom of things, and as Jim would say, in order to explore the unknown, you got to explore first the known, and that's what we've done. So now we're in the unknown.
Well,
there it is.
Jim, we had a great time. Julio, we had a great time.
Too.
You know, tell Jim that I kept calling you Jim all night, and tell him it was because I missed him so much. But Julio, we had a great time. Thank you so much for being here with us for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Thank you guys again, and it's been an honor, a privilege, and I hope we get to do this again, and hopefully in the field as well together.
Julio,
you there?
He's still technically on the line with us, Sean. Oh no, the computer says the call has ended.
There you go. Oh my God, we have lost Julio, guys, in the field live, hunting the Jersey Devil.
We couldn't ask for a better ending than that, could we?
That was it, man. That's it, guys. He's out there. Who knows what's in the woods at night, and who knows what's outside your window tonight, everybody.
Oh, great. Make it tough for everybody to sleep, Sean. Thanks a lot.
That's it.
Hey, bro, you know, it's tough. It's tough to say, but it's that time where we got to thank everybody for joining us tonight for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Julio, wherever you are, we love you. We hope you're safe. Call us back. If you're not, we'll call 911. And be sure to check out our website, guys, at www.ghostanddemon.com and log onto our forums, because, hey, we want to hear from you guys.
And,
get in there.
And join us next week. It looks like we will be here. We will be live, and that will be, that's November 29th, isn't it, Sean? It's November 29th. Post-Thanksgiving, Ghostman and Demon Hunter. We're putting something together, so we'll be here, so be sure to check it out.
Everybody have a great Thanksgiving, guys. Wow, what a show, Demon Hunter. Hey, don't go changing, Ghost Hunters. You know we won't. We love you.
Good night, everybody.
Night, guys. Have a great week.
So say good night to the bad guy.
Well, I don't like work where I work. I'm wasting my precious time. I'm working day in and slaving day out, and I'm losing my worried mind. I'm running.
day to day. The boss man telling me what to do just makes me wanna say to those heathens and hooligans, you won't get the hell out of here. Bother someone else for a while now, brother, I can use a beer. I don't need you and I don't need this, I wanna make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans, you wanna get the hell out of here.
Yeah.